Unit 4, World News, Earth and Environment. Part 1, Warming Up. You are going to hear 10 brief news items. Focus your attention on who, what, when, where, why, and how in each news item, and then answer the questions.
1.
The National Geographic Society just finished measuring Mount Everest, and it is 7 feet taller than was thought when it was last measured in the 1950s. In this case, a global positioning satellite put the precise height of the world's tallest mountain at 29,035 feet.
Two.
New research on the likely impact of climate change suggests that damage to crops in low-lying coastal regions could be worse than previously thought. A draft report by leading climatologists predicts huge problems as a result of a fall in crop yields in tropical and subtropical zones, and more floods and drought in temperate and humid regions.
Three.
More than 2,000 delegates from around the world have gathered in northern Brazil for the third United Nations Conference on Desertification. According to experts, almost one-third of the world's dry land is either desert or runs the risk of becoming so. More than 200 million people are directly affected.
Four.
The disappearance and deformity of amphibians such as frogs and salamanders from rainforests and mountain lakes worldwide has attracted widespread scientific attention over the last decade. Now, a new study says reptile species including turtles, snakes, and alligators are in even greater trouble. Twice as many reptiles as amphibians, or some 100 species, are currently listed as endangered by the World Conservation Union. The study says habitat loss and degradation, pollution, disease, climate change, and overcollection for food, pets, and drugs are the major threats to reptiles.
Five.
Four regional governors from Colombia on a visit to Washington have sharply criticized an American-backed aerial offensive to eradicate thousands of hectares of illegal coca and poppy plantations. At a news conference, the governors call for a different approach in the fight against the illegal drugs trade, saying that the herbicides currently being used were harmful to public health and the environment.
Crews are working to clean up a huge oil spill off the coast of Mexico, about 50 miles south of San Diego. The Coast Guard says about 110,000 gallons spilled Thursday during a fuel transfer between a tanker and an onshore facility.
Seven.
Much attention has been devoted to threatened animal species, but what about plants, which are the fundamental basis of life? One in every eight species of plants is threatened with extinction. Since all food chains begin in the sphere of plant life, this is bad news for the animals too, including humans, who depend on plants not only for food, but also for medicines, building materials, and other vital purposes.
Wildfires in the Florida Everglades have been contained after nearly a week of blazes that consumed 65,000 hectares in the southern part of the state. The fires had spread to a largely unpopulated area outside Everglades National Park, a vast sawgrass prairie teeming with wildlife and vegetation. A drought influenced by the El Niño weather pattern is to blame.
Eight. 9.
A new local directory for the environmentally aware is now available, called the Boulder County Green Pages. The Rotary Clubs in Boulder County got together with local recycling and environmental specialists to put together this first ever directory. It includes quick reference to green products and services for recycling, xeriscaping, energy conservation, and more. The $5 cost helps raise funds for the sponsoring groups.
A U.S. Space Agency study finds that Greenland is melting around the edges. The loss to the world's second largest ice sheet, more than 50 cubic kilometers per year, is enough to raise global sea level by 0.13 millimeters. NASA scientist Bill Crabill says the data indicates a process of change that does not immediately threaten coastal regions.
Part 2.
News reports. In this section, you are going to hear three news reports. A. Listen to the first news report. Complete the news summary, and then briefly answer the questions you hear on the tape.
UN water experts are warning that a severe water shortage will have what they call catastrophic consequences in some developing nations unless global solutions are found soon. 150 experts around the world will discuss the water situation at a conference beginning Monday in Geneva.
A top official from the World Meteorological Organization, Arthur Askew, says that by the year 2025, almost 1 billion people could be living in areas suffering from a scarcity of water. He says the number could double by the middle of the next century. Mr. Askew says one area with serious water problems is the Middle East, but he says officials in the area are already working on ways to deal with the situation. Experts say water shortage problems also could develop in parts of Africa and Western Asia, as well as northeastern China, western and southern India, large parts of Pakistan and Mexico, and parts of the Pacific coasts of the United States and South America. Mr. Askew says there's a moral obligation to treat water as a precious resource and a need to realize that large amounts of water are used, often wastefully, in food production and manufacturing.
All commodities have used water in their production, and you must be aware, therefore, that if you're importing food from one country to another, you are in fact importing part of the water resources of that country.
Mr. Askew also says water shortages lead to a conflict between rural and urban demands.
In many regions of the world, the water crisis is not coming because of human consumption directly for potable water, for drinking, or for sanitary purposes. It's coming for agriculture. And in general, about 80% of the water which is consumed, i.e. it's extracted from the rivers or from underground resources and is not returned, is for agriculture. And there is considerable pressure now on the agricultural sectors to see if they cannot use that water more efficiently.
Mr. Askew says it's estimated that a person needs about 5 liters of water a day to survive, and a person lives comfortably with about 50 liters a day. But he says people in many countries are using 500 liters of water each day. He says ways must be found to reduce such overuse before it's too late.
Questions. 1. How many experts will attend the conference in Geneva? 2. When will the conference begin? 3. What would the situation be like in the year 2025, according to Arthur Askew? 4. In which areas could water shortage problems most probably develop? 5. What is the moral obligation put forth by Arthur Askew? 6. How much water does a person need a day to survive? 7. How much water does a person need a day to live comfortably? 8. How much water are people in many countries now using each day?
B. Listen to the second news report. Supply the missing words while listening.
An annual study by the World Watch Institute here in Washington says with the boom in the information economy, Americans have lost sight of the deteriorating health of the planet.
State of the World 2000 says the fast-growing information economy is affecting every aspect of life, from communication, commerce, and work, to education and entertainment. Lead author and World Watch president Lester Brown says, while Americans generally feel a sense of optimism about the economy, the planet's health is suffering. He says it is a mistake to confuse the vibrancy of the virtual world with the increasingly troubled state of the real world.
We give the Earth an annual physical, and this book is the result of that annual physical. We check its vital signs, and almost all those vital signs, whether it's the number of species, whether it's the stability of climate, whether it's the health of coral reefs, all those trends show deterioration.
Lester Brown says other warning signs are rising temperatures, falling water tables, melting glaciers, shrinking forests, and collapsing fisheries. He says the major environmental challenges in the 21st century will be to stabilize both climate and world population growth. World Watch Institute President Lester Brown also points out initiatives by multinational corporations to seek energy alternatives. For example, Daimler Chrysler and Shell Oil are working with the government of Iceland to turn that country into the first hydrogen-powered economy.
C. Listen to the third news report. As you listen, carefully study the words in the two columns and then complete the news summary.
Golf courses and the environment have historically been at odds. It's hard to reconcile the careful grooming and excessive water needed for greens and fairways with conservation and natural habitats. One case in point, Lakewood's Fox Hollow Golf Course had its construction temporarily halted so some killdeer eggs could hatch. A pair of red-tailed hawks were also born during the construction of Fox Hollow. However, the golf course has recently won an award for its relatively low impact and sustained wildlife. The Golf Course Superintendents of America say Lakewood's 27-hole Fox Hollow course blends well with Bear Creek Lake's grasslands, and the land still hosts foxes, deer, great horned owls, blue herons, coyotes, and other wildlife. Only 3 Environmental Steward Awards are given out each year, so Lakewood officials are pretty excited about helping set the standard for golf courses with a soft touch.
Part 3.
City Recycling. A. You are going to hear a report about city recycling. Listen carefully. Number the following major points according to the order you hear them.
The United States is running out of landfill space, places to put its trash. Because of that, more communities are encouraging their residents to recycle, to set aside certain materials that won't go to the landfill. One area that's met the recycling challenge head-on is the southeast city of Charlotte, North Carolina. In just a few years, its recycling program has become one of the country's most successful.
Catherine Smith lives in one of the 130,000 eligible recycling households in Charlotte, North Carolina. Nearly 80% of the households participate in the program. Each week, Smith goes to her front porch and fills her red plastic bin with recyclables.
You've got any plastic containers marked 1 or 2. You've got any glass. They also recycle tin cans and newspapers. So all of that can go in the curbside pickup bin.
Well, you've got everything out here on the curb. But what happens next?
Well, this is the easy part. Then someone driving a Charlotte Mecklenburg Recycle Now truck comes usually at some point tomorrow, Friday, and they pick it up at curbside, and that's it.
From there, Smith's cans, bottles, and newspapers are taken to one of the community's recycling centers. The city of Charlotte actually contracts with a private company to process the recyclables. This plant is operated by a company called FCR. The recycling trucks pull into FCR each weekday morning to drop off the used material. Inside, the processing center at FCR is bustling with activity. One of the first things you notice in the 26,000 square foot facility is a huge mound of materials called the commingle area. Basically, it's a big pile of assorted trash. There are forklifts transporting garbage and people sorting through it. Paula Hoffman is education coordinator at FCR. She conducts tours of the plant for more than 1,000 people a month.
The aluminum can, the number one and number two plastic containers, the spiral can, the glass bottles and jars are all mixed together into a huge pile. And we are receiving about 100 tons a day, which is 200,000 pounds. So you can imagine how many bottles and cans are in that pile. Can we walk around a little bit? As you can see, the bottles and cans are riding up the conveyor belt, and they'll end up on a sorting station where there are 12 workers that will hand sort the bottles and cans and other containers. As you can see from the sorting station, they drop their material down a chute into a large container below. The sorting station's on a raised platform.
Across from the sorters and the commingle area is a mound of newspaper. Of the material brought to FCR, three-quarters of it is newsprint. It rides a separate conveyor belt, is checked, and is compacted into bales, 11 to 1,200 pounds each. Back in the quiet of FCR's auditorium, Paula Hoffman describes what happens to the sorted and processed recyclables the company receives from Catherine Smith and the thousands of other area residents. Hoffman says they're sold to other companies that then make them into different products.
Your food and beverage glass containers are always made into new food and beverage glass containers. Your aluminum beverage cans are the biggest percentage of the time made into new aluminum beverage cans. 25% of all beverage, Coca-Cola, Pepsi bottles are now made into new Pepsi or Coke bottles. However, a certain percentage is also made into other products such as the fuzz on a tennis ball, carpeting, your number two plastic. A lot of it's made into plastic wood.
Charlotte, the surrounding county, and FCR are glad to add new recyclables to their program, as long as there's a need for the recycled material. From its high participation rate to the quality end product, Charlotte's recycling program is considered one of the top five in the nation. But ultimately, the success of the Charlotte Area Recycling Program can be traced to the curbsides of the many individual citizens who, like Catherine Smith, are active participants in the program.
B. Listen again. Pay special attention to the process of the sorting of the recyclable material. As you listen, put the listed steps in correct order and take notes for each of the following questions.
Questions. 1. What recycling goes on in households in Charlotte? Who recycles and how is it done? 2. What happens at the processing center when the material is brought? 3. What happens to the materials once they are sorted and processed? 4. What have been the successes and the benefits of recycling for Charlotte?
C. Read the following questions. Answer them in note form. If necessary, listen once more. Part 4. Language Study and Language Appreciation. Listen to the following statements you have learned in the previous and present units. Pay special attention to the parts in bold type. Learn to appreciate and use the language.
1. to impose restrictions on, to issue bans on.
The European Union has imposed further restrictions on the movement of livestock after a case of foot and mouth disease was confirmed in France. The United States and Canada have issued temporary bans on the import of all animal produce from EU countries.
2. To be hit by a wave of profit-taking after 5 straight record closes.
London stocks were hit by a wave of profit-taking after 5 straight record closes.
3. To move into record territory.
The CAC 40 down 33 points, or 1%. And Frankfurt's DAX also fell 1% after briefly moving into record territory.
4. To report a profit, to post earnings, to make a profit, to post a profit.
Consumer electronics maker Philips Electronics reported a lower than expected profit for last year. Oil company Royal Dutch Shell posted its earnings. It made roughly a $3.6 billion profit for its fourth quarter. Electronic Data Systems also reported its fourth quarter numbers last night. It posted a 70-cent profit per share, 2 cents better than expectations.
5. To rebound from financial crisis.
Economies in the Asia-Pacific region have rebounded from the 1997-1998 financial crisis, that according to the annual survey by the UN Conference on Trade and Development.
6. External and domestic downside risks.
Despite the optimistic prospects for the region, Mr. Choa warns against complacency. He says there are both external and domestic downside risks.
7. With the blue chips in a rally mode. A holiday shortened week.
U.S. stock prices were mixed on Monday with the blue chips in a rally mode, but volume was only moderate after a holiday shortened week last week, showing lingering uncertainty among investors.
8. To get a boost from. To give a boost to.
The Dow Industrials actually got a boost from their technology components.
President Jiang Zemin says the deal will give a much-needed boost to Sino-U.S. ties, while Bill Clinton says it will be good for world trade.
9. A very good entry point for getting into the market.
If you're a long-term investor, this is a very good entry point for getting in the market, because this is what you've been waiting for.
10. To be phased in.
That means market opening will be phased in, enabling state industries and other struggling firms to prepare for the arrival of foreign competition.
11. To provide a catalyst for.
He says the work that his firm and other communications companies are doing in developing nations provides a catalyst for greater economic development.
12. To set the standard for, with a soft touch.
Only 3 Environmental Steward Awards are given out each year, so Lakewood officials are pretty excited about helping set the standard for golf courses with a soft touch.
13. To meet the challenge head on.
One area that's met the recycling challenge head on is the southeast city of Charlotte, North Carolina.